Worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Top of the morning to you. Yes, we're going to Ireland today. It is Saturday, March 19th, a couple of days after St. Patrick's Day. And the Golf Club is online at radiogolfclub.com, and we're broadcasting statewide on 5 radio stations in Hawaii. And thank you for stopping in to the clubhouse, because we've got a playing lesson this morning with Jerry King, Aloha Section PGA Professional and Director of Instruction at the Kapalua Golf Academy. And we're going to be talking with Golf World Executive Editor and Golf Digest Senior Writer Ron Syrak and Michael Patrick Shields, author of Invite Yourself to the Party, which he certainly knows how to do. He's in Limerick, Ireland. And Tom Shanahan, manager of the Radisson Blu, will join us from Limerick, Ireland. We've got a dose of Irish this morning. Alika E. Mechanical, making the golf club possible. Thank you so much to the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning and sheet metal and commercial kitchen design and fabrication. They've got excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product you can depend on. Alika E. Mechanical. Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property, whether you need protection or you want to join the Star Team. That's right. Call Star Protection. Moon Physical Therapy. Doctor recommended, insurance approved. They achieve results. Seriously. At Moon Physical Therapy. Listen for Julie Moon's physical therapy tips. They're warm-up tips for you golfers this morning on the show. Julie Moon. Poipu Bay Golf Course. The number is 742-8711, 808-742-8711. Special deals and packages available for Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem, open to kama'aina and visitors. The deals are for both. Playing beautifully, tee to green. I've got to pass on the word of the day today. Someone just said to me, checking in on, you know, from around the world and inner island, all I know today is I'm not shaken, I'm not radiated, and I'm dry. Speaking, of course, about the folks in Japan who are afraid of all of the above. And today, hands across the Pacific, and a number of people are getting together at Restaurant Row. It's a fundraiser. $10, children under 12 are free, and 10% of all the money spent for food and beverage goes to tsunami, earthquake, and hopefully not radiation, relief to Japan. So that's all happening today. There's a huge list, way too long for me to go through, of entertainers and DJs and just a lot of fun at Restaurant Row, Waterfront Plaza. Okay? I'll give you the starting time in a little bit. Let's get right to Jerry King. We've got our playing lesson, and now, on the tee, Aloha Section PGA Professional and Director of Instruction at the Kapalua Golf Academy, Jerry King.
Well, I got to watch out. You might have my job at the Sunday Tournament of Champions, Danielle.
I asked Jerry to tell me how I should introduce him if I were on the first tee. That's what Jerry does every year at Kapalua. He gets to do the first tee announcing at Kapalua's Hyundai Tournament of Champions. That's fantastic. You know, watching you is really, you're like, you're a performer there standing and, what's it like doing that all day long?
Well, you know, it's kind of like being a golf instructor, you know, do what you love and love what you do. And, you know, being able to hang out on the hill and shake all the tour players' hands and, you know,
Did you ever get nervous? I mean, was there one player who actually made you a little bit nervous saying all the things about him and announcing it?
You know, I think 13 years ago when I started doing it, I felt the butterflies in my stomach, but that's kind of like when you're playing in a golf tournament. You have to turn those butterflies into a positive and go, okay, well, this is why I've worked hard, you know, either in my golf game or announcing or being on the Golf Channel. So then when you're in the moment, you're like, okay, game on, and then you yes. use it to your advantage. So I have felt nervous before because I don't want to mispronounce their names or,
yes.
you know.
Absolutely, and just their aura, you know, just being around them. Did you feel a sense of encapsulating that Tiger may have projected, keeping his own space as he gets on the tee?
You know, I did, and, you know, Tiger, every year that he's been out here, he's been 50-50. When he'll come in, and he's just being a great guy, being really nice, and then the other year, he's being really intense, and, you know, and just real quick, I'll tell you, a couple of years, starting him off in the Pro-Am, he teed off because he loved it when he was number one in the world and leading money winner. You could decide when you wanted to tee off, and so he always wanted to tee off first. And there's a couple times he teed off without letting me announce him.
He just walked up and hit the ball?
Yeah, he just walked up, hit the ball like 2 minutes before, and then afterwards, you know, I go, ladies and gentlemen, Tiger Woods, and he had a big laugh and a big roar, you know, but I was like, really? You know, he teed off without being out, so there's Tiger Woods.
Well, I promised a playing lesson this morning, because we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, and everybody wants to learn something before they go to the course and get ready to play. And one of the questions that I found on Twitter this morning, Hank Haney has been giving out tips to all sorts of people on Twitter. Do you have a Twitter account?
I do, but I haven't been real active on it yet.
Oh, cool. You need to let me know what that... What is it? We'll bug you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll send you tweets.
So yep, I have not started it yet, but I'm
okay. Okay, good. Well, you started because Hank Haney has a Twitter account, and people have been asking him for tips. And in about, you know, it's on 140 characters or less, and he's been giving them little segments. You know, what to
right.
do... How do I avoid being chunky? And he suggested to one person that, well, he suggested that this person practice 18 inches off the ground. And I went, what does that mean? Do you know exactly what he's talking about?
I think what he's saying is take practice swings with the club head elevated 18 inches above the ground.
That's
so what
exactly
you're doing. And this is part of, you know, the technique that he likes to train as well, is to flatten out the swing. So, you know, you get the arms working more around your body. And when you do that, you shallow out your angle of approach into impact. So, therefore, you're going to be less apt to hitting fat shots. So, because when you're coming in steep, that's what makes it go deep. So, if you... You know, if you have more, a little bit more of a baseball practice swing, 18 inches or 24 inches or 36 inches above the ground, you're flattening out your swing.
Very good. Thank you so much. I think you've just enlightened us. Now, you say that's something that he likes to teach. Is it not something you would do?
Well, no, yes, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, if we were going to say that, you know, Hank Haney has a little bit more of a method that he teaches, it's more of a leverage, you know, more of a, I guess you could say, more of a one-plane swing.
Yes.
You know, they just more arm swing and more turn and more around. I mean, you can see, you know, what when Tiger was working with him, he took Tiger from being more upright from when he worked with Butch Harmon to being flatter and more around. And that's just kind of a method that Hank Haney teaches, and he believes that, you know, it's the most efficient and the most powerful and most athletic way to swing the golf club.
Yeah, okay. Now, you just brought up something that I've got to go to, because which is your favorite swing so far that Tiger's had? As a young man or under Butch Harmon, Hank Haney, or now Sean Foley?
You know, I'd say, you know, when he was with Butch Harmon, I think that was when Tiger was more towards what was natural for him, which, you know, to where he had a little bit more of a one-piece takeaway, and then he elevated and got a little bit more upright in his swing. And, you know, I think that matched a little bit more his natural swing of when he was a kid growing up and winning all those amateur championships. And so, you know, if I had to pick one, I'd say my favorite was when he was with Harmon.
Exactly. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know. It seems Sean Foley is some sort of I don't understand, kind of a mind, more of a mind player, you know, like how you approach the game mentally. I'm a little confused. Do you understand?
Yeah, Sean Foley's trying to be the Yoda of golf.
Oh, thank you. So my perception is correct then.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. That takes care of that because, you know, we'll get to the mental game. In a little bit, but let's stay with the physical for now. Another question that came up this morning was, do you ever find yourself, Jerry, telling your students to slow down?
You know, that's a great question, Danielle, and, you know, I say yes, but then at the same time, no. Depends. You have to understand what slow down means. So I like to use the word more smooth it out. And if I was just going to do, you know, if I had to switch that word, I'd switch it from slow to smooth, because we want to be explosive through impact in the golf swing. And, you know, we all love to get out there and hit our driver as far as we can. But the most important key is that you can't hit the ball on your backswing. So if you're going to slow anything down, you slow down, one, your breathing, and then secondly, you slow down your backswing. Because if you can do those two, because, you know, one's the horse and one's the carriage, the breathing will allow you to feel more at ease and then smooth out your backswing. If you're going to, you know, smooth it out, one, but if you want to slow it down, so then you can accelerate more through impact. So that's how I get more my players. I will ask them to slow down their breathing, and slow down their backswing, because that's going to lead to more acceleration through impact.
Do you find that people, when they get nervous, they tend to rush themselves? What's the hurry?
Of course. And then that's where the breathing gets faster, the walking gets faster, and then the backswing gets faster, and then the swing through impact gets slower.
That's bizarre. It's like a reverse. Okay, so don't hurry yourself. What's the rush? And
exactly. And then I'll say it again, the breathing is the most important. And, you know, so when I'm working with my players out on the golf course especially, is, you know, getting them into a good routine to where they understand how to, you know, I mean, they can be excited, they can be, you know, in between shots, you know, be talking about different things, but then when it's time to get into your routine, that's when you get into your consistent breathing, you slow everything down, and then you smooth out your backswing, and you'll hit it a lot farther and more solid.
I guess one of the things that you have to learn to do is channel that excitement into focus.
So that's well said, Danielle, definitely.
You take all that energy of the excitement and put that into being focused, and then when you can do that, then you've got somebody who's extremely dead on, you know,
right.
Target. Okay, here's something from Garrett Willis in the lead at Transitions right now on the Copperhead course. He was talking about how great it feels to be at the top of the leaderboard, which he is for the time being. They haven't teed off the top. Garrett Willis and Chris Couch, they're in the lead. Chris had a 64. Garrett had a 67. But he said that he likes being at the top of the leaderboard, but this course in particular forces him to play aggressively. Let's hear him.
Once I step foot on the golf course, I mean, it's full-on type A personality. And like I said, that's why I struggle so much with course management, because I always want to shoot at the pins and go for the birdies instead of playing the smart shot. But luckily, this golf course forces you to do that out here. So, and that's one thing that I love about this golf course. It's you have to play that way.
Okay, for those who are, you know, 30 handicap who may not understand what he's saying, could you explain that? What is aggressive play?
You know, aggressive play, like, you know, he mentioned it, you know, firing at pins. Well, you know, usually on a golf course, you can kind of break it up. Well, you've got six hole placements that are pretty simple, pretty easy. And then you have six hole placements that are very difficult, and then six that are kind of medium. And, you know, when you're managing the golf course, you have to go to the meat of the green, and if that means you have a 20-footer, you have a 20-footer. But what he's saying is that, you know, the different portions of the green, wherever that flag is, you need to go after it, because otherwise you can catch a swell and be so far away from the hole, now you're looking at more of a three-putt. Because the greens are very, very fast, and there's some roll-offs. And roll-offs are when, you know, if your ball gets 6 feet past the hole, it might be 20 feet past the hole.
Okay.
You know, so you have to be more aggressive of going towards those flag sticks. And then the second thing is that hitting off the tee. You know, if you're managing your game, sometimes you're hitting irons off the tee and for placement. Well, playing aggressive is that, okay, you're cutting corners more with the driver, so then therefore you can get a wedge in your hand. So with a wedge in your hand, you can attack the flagstick. So I think what he's saying is that this course says you want to have wedge in your hand. You want to have a 9-iron or 8-iron in your hand so you can be more aggressive into the hole placement. So that means you need to be more aggressive off the tee. Now, Garrett Willis, and I've had the opportunity to work with him, I've probably given him about, you know, 6 or 7 lessons, is that he's a great driver of the golf ball. He's very consistent with his driver. He looks at that as his favorite club. So when he's forced with a course that says, hey, you got to have your driver in your hand and, you know, and be aggressive, he's going, I love it. So it's good to see him playing well.
Yes, yep. Excellent. So in other words, for all the beginners who go out there and say, where's the flag? And they say, okay, there's the flag. That's where I'm going. That's not necessarily what you want to do, right?
Exactly, and especially with all of these golf carts now that have the GPS, you
yes.
can look up on the GPS and see the green and see the shape of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, hey, if I go for this flag right here, I mean, it might not be the smartest decision. So that's good to know. I mean, you know, you always go for the meat of the green.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to continue with wind conditions. We've got a very windy day. And what if you're going to something like Makalea is having, or the horse race that they have every year at Kapalua's Clambake, when you have 3 clubs only for the entire round? What do you take? We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club. Waipu Bay and Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea.
sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
On the Big Island, you can play at Volcano. There's a little rain. It's about 50 degrees. And there's a 10:15, a 10:42, and an 11:24. At Ko'olina, there's a 10:32, an 11:04. McKenna, an 8:40, and a 10:32. And at Poipu, the Jeng family and Ali'i Construction are going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 9:10, 10:30, and an 11:40. Jerry King joining us in the clubhouse this morning. We're doing a playing lesson. We're also going to be, I'm going to see you, Jerry, on Oahu PGLO Section 2011 Golf Industry Conferences on Monday.
That's going to be great. At a Ko'olina, the Hawaii Golf Conference. It's going to be a great event.
It's great. Joe Steranka, the Executive Director of the PGA of America. David Avalos, the Executive Vice President and General Manager of TaylorMade Golf. Larry Gilhooley, Northwest Region Director for the USGA Green Service. Dave Marr, Golf Channel announcer for PGA and Champions Tour, and Admiral Thomas Fargo, retired U.S. Navy, will be there to speak, and they're going to have a China clinic, how to encourage China tourism and golf exchange. That's good. I posed the China question to Jack Nicklaus several years ago. So one guy in the press said to me, did you ask the China question? I said, yeah. Okay. So, the idea of playing in the wind. We've got, by the way, our forecast in Hawaii is more rain this weekend than we've had last week and less wind. But it's still going to be windy. So if you're going to the course today, you're going to need to bring your wind game. You hear people say that, right? Take your wind game. You say, what? What do you mean? Well, let's say you're standing, the wind is coming from your back, and you're into the wind. And, you know, what do? How do you adjust? Club adjustment is critical, isn't it, Jerry?
It is. And, once again, it's managing yourself out there. And when the wind's howling like it, was for the last couple of days and it is today, you need to be smart. And, I'll start with the downwind, because we all look at downwind of just saying, okay, well, that's just going to give me more distance. So let me swing hard and get it up in the wind. Well, that's true. It will. If you get your ball up in the air. But I think the most important thing to understand is that it straightens your ball out. So if you're used to hitting a 20-yard cut, a fade or a little slice, you're probably not going to hit that. So you need to aim a little differently because with the wind at your back, it straightens out your ball. Same thing on the putting surface. You get there and your ball's not going to break as much when it's downwind because the wind is pushing behind the ball and straightening it out. So if it's in the air or if it's on the green, that can save you a few shots of just understanding that. You got to aim a little bit different and take that into consideration.
Aim point really works to your advantage then with the wind, doesn't it?
Aim point works to your advantage every single condition, situation. Because being able to know, once you get a feel, and for everybody out there that doesn't really know what aim point is, aim point is that, that green line or blue line that you see on the Golf Channel. Mark Sweeney is the guy that invented it, and he's a good friend of mine. And it's knowing the speed of the green, knowing the slope of the green, and then you finding the straight putt, you know exactly where the ball's going to break, if it's going to be 8 inches, if it's going to be 2 inches. So it really helps you out if it's blowing or if it's not blowing.
Excellent. Thank you. I wanted to get that in. So what if the wind is, your face, you know, it seems more intimidating when the wind is blowing at your face.
It definitely. And, you know, the thing is now it does the opposite. If you have spin on your ball, it's going to magnify it. So whatever side spin that you have, now the wind's in the face, it's pushing the ball. If you have a natural little hook that you play, well, now it's going to be more magnified because the wind's pushing into it and making it turn a little bit more. Now, the most important thing is let's eliminate backspin. How do we eliminate backspin? Now, it goes to your first question, Danielle, when you said about, do you ever ask anybody to slow down?
Uh-huh.
So it goes full circle. I ask them to smooth out. Very important to take the extra clubs when you're swinging into the wind. So let's say today, I mean, it might be blowing 30 miles per hour. I'm taking at least three extra clubs, probably four, and swinging at an easier pace. Because when you swing at a smoother pace, you're going to eliminate the backspin, and you're also going to eliminate the side spin, and your ball's going to penetrate that wind more effectively.
Okay, let's dumb it really down. When you say take a three extra clubs, what do you mean? Like, let's say I was going to use a seven iron. What would I use?
You'd use a four iron, or if you don't have the four iron, you'd go to that rescue club that you have, that rescue four, that rescue three. So for every 10 miles per hour of wind, that's at least one club.
Okay, and you go down. In other words, the smaller numbers, everybody?
That's right. You know, just remember, the higher the number, the higher the shot. The lower the number, the lower the shot, lower and longer. So if you usually hit a seven iron 140 yards, well, now you need to take that four iron or that four rescue to get that ball 140 yards. And again, I always use those two words, at least. So I'd say go up to that rescue three, swing at about a 75% pace, and you'll be amazed at the results. And that's why I love playing in the wind, because especially being type A guy, swing fast, talk fast, walk fast.
Right.
You know,
it
smooths me down because the wind tries to do everything opposite to you. It tries to get you to breathe faster because of the intensity.
Yes.
It gets you to grip it harder, and it gets you to swing faster. So let's dramatically do all the opposites. Let's walk a little slower, breathe a little slower.
Wow.
Let's swing smoother. And then it's amazing. So then you take that to when it's not a windy day, go, hey, how about I do the same thing but just use my normal club?
You know what, Jerry? You should do a tape. You know, for people to play while they're practicing or while they're walking on the course. I mean practice on the course. You know, this, you decide that you're going to go actually practice. You're not going to play today. You're not going to go out and have fun. You're going to practice while you're playing on the course, which means you may, you know, try that shot over again, which is what the guys do in a practice round, right?
Exactly. That's right. That's the late nine. It's the emergency nine, I call it. You're going out at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and, you know, you play an extra ball, and that's when you can go out and work on the things that you've been training to try to be able to build them into your trust when you're going out and playing your 18-hole round.
Excellent. Okay, and here we're going to dumb something down a bunch, too. When you talk about, you know, you're playing you play a little hook, or you've got a fade or draw, you know, for the people who, you know, just go out and try to hit the ball, you know, how do they keep it low so it doesn't get caught in the wind? You know,
when you're doing it, that's a great question. And when you're doing it off the tee, so let's say you're hitting your driver, you're hitting a fairway wood off the tee, the first thing you do is just slightly, and everything is always slightly. We don't want to be too dramatic in this game of golf. Slightly tee the ball down. When you tee the ball down, now you're going to, you know, if anything, hit it a little bit lower on the face, and that creates a lower shot. You hit it higher on the face of the driver, you're going to hit a higher shot. So just slightly teeing that ball down. Now, everybody knows, not necessarily everybody, but most players know, if I want to hit the ball low, I move it back in my stance. You have to be very careful with that, because if you move it too far back in your stance, now you're hitting down on the ball. And when you hit down on the ball, you're imparting more backspin. So it's kind of like when we're around the green, if we want to put more backspin on the ball, well, we move it a little bit more back in the stance, and we hit down on it, and that creates backspin, right?
Yes.
So we have to be careful in the full shots out on the golf course when it's windy. We say, oh, my bow, you know, asked me, or my good playing partner said to move your ball position back. Well, if you get it too far back, now you're hitting down on it, and you're imparting too much spin on it.
Right.
So that's where I would say, now, if you're out there with your driver, just tee it a little bit lower, slightly grip down on the club. That makes you stand a little bit closer.
Right.
When you stand a little bit closer to the ball, that gets your arms, your body, and it kind of shortens your swing a little bit.
very cool.
Also, when you grip down on the club, Danielle, it stiffens the shaft. When you stiffen the shaft, it creates a lower ball flight.
Isn't it amazing? We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, the time goes so fast when I talk to you. I just think, well, I can't keep it more than a half an hour. I could talk to you for like an hour and a half, Jerry. We could do a whole show. It's just amazing.
Fun. You know, it's like hanging with you, Danielle.
Okay. We've got the Aloha section, PGA of America, PGA Classic. This is the biggest Aloha Section fundraiser the Aloha Section has, can I say that more often? Every year at Kapolei on April 29th. That's about 5 weeks from now. So save the date, April 29th, and they're having the big fundraiser of the year at Kapolei. What is this money used for, Jerry?
You know, our Aloha Section PGA, you know, we have over 200 PGA professionals, members and apprentices here in the section, and it's all about growing the game of golf. And, you know, through our helping juniors out and putting tournaments together and also raising money for charities, a big portion of this golf tournament is going to go to the Ronald McDonald House. That's the charity of choice for the Aloha Section PGA.
Yes.
And we also have the PGA Foundation and the PGA Foundations for growing the game. So, getting juniors into the game and doing all other PGA initiatives. It's a really good tournament for a really good cause, and we have a great association with the Aloha Section PGA.
Excellent, excellent. It's kind of like what the R.R. Donnelly Founders Cup is doing. You know, it's the faux purse over in Arizona, the first event on the LPGA schedule that's being played in the U.S., and the money that the players, quote-unquote, win goes to their charity of choice in the top 10, and that money will also count toward their year-round earnings and the Solheim Cup's point race, et cetera. So that's it's for charity. It's an event that raises money for, and in some cases, the people in Japan will be benefiting, depending on whether or not the player picks a cause like that.
Well, that's the great thing about golf, too, is it donates so much to charity, more than, you know, than any other sport. And, you know, I just ask everybody for the PGA Classic, go to ASPGA.com, Aloha Section PGA, ASPGA.com, and check out that tournament.
There's an event that you have every year, the Clam Bake, where you can only have three clubs in your bag. You each of you gets to have your own three clubs, but it can only be the same three clubs. At Makalei, they've got the five-club event, and that's when there's one bag and five clubs, which is a little bit, right? The three club is really tricky, right? But what would you suggest in your case? You're a scratch player. What five clubs would you put in your bag?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. And, you know, I mean, in all the years of, you know, we have our Kapalua Clam Bake out here, and it's the horse race. It's after the first, you know, 2 days of the event, the top 11 teams go out and compete for this horse race. And it's always a decision, well, what clubs do we grab? And there's different teams that are using, and these are really good players. Different teams are using different clubs. So it kind of depends. It depends on the strength of your game. But if I had to answer for the five clubs, you have to have your putter with five clubs. Okay, Nipsey Hussle, I clarify, with five clubs, you have to have your putter. And I would grab a wedge to where I would, if I have a gap wedge in my bag, I would use the gap wedge because it's kind of in between the sand wedge and in between your pitching wedge, so it's more versatile.
Okay.
Then I would take a middle iron, and so the 7-iron is a very, you know, versatile club.
Okay.
Then I would throw in a rescue, like a 3-rescue, and then my driver. So that way, with five clubs, and we have a 3-hole walking course here at Kapalua and, at the Golf Academy, and that's pretty much what our players are going down on, the 3-hole course. We have 2 par 3s and a par 4, and they'll have 5 clubs in their bag.
That's perfect. Now, what about when you go with 3 clubs? What do you take?
Now, every year, and we've come close a couple of years, every year in the clam bake, we go with our sand wedge, a 7-iron, and a 3-wood.
Sand wedge?
Now, there's no putter there.
No, that's what you
Yeah, now, see, I've always thought I practice every once in a while putting with my sand wedge. So, you know, sometimes you have the shot that's just off the green and it's right next to the collar.
Yeah.
And you have to come up and you have to take your sand wedge and kind of blade it right in the middle of the ball, right in the equator of the ball.
Okay.
So I practice that sometime to be able to have precision. You can see that, you know, the edge, the face, and so it's not real easy, but if you practice a little bit, you can get used to it. So
excellent.
Now, there's other teams that they take their putter, and then they'll take like a 9-iron or 8-iron and then a 3-wood. But now the challenge with that is that in our 3-hole horse race, or the 3-club horse race, there's a chip-off. So if you've got 11 teams going down the fairway on the first hole, there's going to be probably about 4 teams to where there's a chip-off.
Oh.
So you need to have your wedge. If you don't have your wedge, you're at a disadvantage. So that's where it becomes very challenging. If you're going to grab 3 clubs, what do you grab?
The strategy. Yes, indeed. You're going to be at the Masters. Are you going to call in from the Masters, please?
If you want me to call in, I'm calling in, Danielle.
Good. That'll be fun. It's always
No, I'd love to call back in and share it with the, you know, with the islands here in Hawaii. You know, I'm very fortunate to be able to go back to the Masters. It's a great experience.
Well, the 1986 Masters, they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Jack Nicklaus's mind-boggling victory. I'm reading straight off the cover of Golf World. And it's interesting because he was at the point in his career where he hadn't won in a while. I think he was 160 on the money list. Ron Cyrak will be joining us from Golf World, the executive editor and Golf Digest senior writer. And he didn't think he would ever win again, he said. That it wasn't part of his mindset. But he felt he had just got a lesson. He felt like he was finding the Jack that he knew on the golf course before, the guy who won all those events. What happens to a golfer? And I know you've had ups and downs, right, Jerry?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
We all have that have played this glorious game of golf.
Right. So when you have your downs, when you're in a place like Tiger Woods, and you don't think you'll ever get back again, maybe he doesn't think that, but the majority of people seem to be thinking that. What's happening in your mind when you go play?
Well, I think the first thing is that, you know, your expectations go down. You're not necessarily like Tiger when he was at his, you know, in his prime and in his peak.
Yep.
He was knowing and believing that he was going to go win every single week. And so now what you do is it's kind of like Jack. He went back to the drawing board. He got some good lessons, and he wasn't in the prime of his career. He wasn't sitting there going out, okay, I can, you know, he believed he could win the Masters every time that he played. We all know that. But at the same time, those expectations go down. So it kind of frees you up a little bit.
I
go out and love the game and go play the game.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just going out and grinding every single time. So I think that was a big, big, big part of it.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure, Dan Cullen. I'll tell you one thing about Jack's 1986 Masters.
Yeah.
His mom was there for the first time since his first time to play it in 27 years.
That's right.
All those guys. We all love our mom. Mom was there. He had to show off for mom. I thought it was great.
And his son was on his bag. That's awesome.
That's right. Yes. Jackie was on the bag. That's right.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll see you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Danielle. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Jerry King.
Aloha.
Kapalua Golf Academy. Aloha. We're joined now by Ron Cyrak, Golf World Executive Editor and Golf Digest Senior Writer. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. You probably heard the conversation with Jerry King from Kapalua about Jack Nicklaus. Really an amazing time in Masters history. I want to talk about a number of things with you. The PGA, LPGA, of course, the possibility of joining forces. The R.R. Donnelly Founders Cup, where you're at right now. This 86 Masters and your thoughts on Jack's Master. Tiger and your conversation with him after he shot the 66 at the WGC Cadillac. And the Tavistock. And I'd like to start with the Tavistock Cup, which I want to congratulate you. You won an award from the Golf Writers Association, I believe, for the article you wrote when you left the Tavistock.
First time I ever covered a tournament, I never got out of the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a great article. When I read it, I mean, I always admired your work and wanted to talk to you about, you know, what you think and how you come to your conclusions. But when I read the Tavistock, what Ron did is he went to this event, and he was told to wear a shirt. And he chose not to wear the shirt because he was a journalist. He is a journalist. He's covering an event. He's not a banner. He's not a poster. He wasn't going to wear it. Did they even give you a choice of what color shirt you were going to wear?
Yeah, you had to either wear a Lake No-No blue shirt or an Isleworth red shirt. I mean, it would be like showing up at the Super Bowl and they saying to the sports writers there, do you want to wear the Pittsburgh Steelers colors or the Green Bay Packers colors today? You know, I mean, it just seemed totally absurd. And I had the good fortune of two things. One, having very principled and understanding bosses. And two, the fact that about a half a mile down the road, it was is the Bay Hill course where the Arnold Palmer tournament was going to be that week. So I just drove down there and said, you know, I'll just spend an extra day hanging out with Arnold.
Oh, yeah, hard, right. Yeah, you were lucky to have. But it also told me that when you write something, you're an actual journalist. You have some integrity about, you know, the work that you do and the background. You're not just going there to write nice things about the people you're writing about.
We all love the game, and we're all stakeholders in the game, and we all benefit from the game thriving and growing. But we don't do the game a disservice if we don't try to be as honest as we possibly can. You know, and you really have to establish the fact that you're there as an objective, neutral observer of events, and to be wearing would essentially amounted to being a sandwich board for the real estate developers who were managing the golf tournament, seemed to like cross that line. We can give that event support without having to wear their uniforms.
Yes, yes. And so then they sent you an invitation to come back again this year after you didn't bother to show up. You said, hey, I'm not going to play this game.
I have a feeling I won't be on the list next year.
Yeah, certainly since he wrote about it, you see, that he had gotten this invitation, and how silly of them to think that he would come back if he didn't show up for the first one. Okay, so now we know where Mr. Cyrak is when it comes to covering these events. You're at the R.R. Donnelly Founders Cup, which started out to be a bit of a controversy in the way the players were handling this faux purse, the mock purse.
Here's what happened. When they originally announced this event, they said, okay, we're going to have a $1.3 million purse. $500,000 is going to go to the LPGA, USGA Girls Golf Program, Grow the Game Program, and no players will get any money. It'll count on the money list for you, but you don't actually get paid. So some players said, well, wait a minute, $1.3 million purse, $500,000 goes to charity. Where's the other $800,000 going?
Uh-huh.
So they sat down. And the commissioner, he sort of admitted that he was a little bit naive in what kind of pushback he was expecting. So the compromise they reached is it's now a $1 million purse. $500,000 goes to the LPGA, USGA Girls Golf Program. The other $500,000 will be distributed to the charities designated by the top 10 finishers. So the entire purse now is going to charity, and the players feel much better about that all the money's accounted for, and B, those top 10 finishers get to have the privilege and the tax advantages, to be honest, too, of being able to make a charitable donation. The winner will be able to give $200,000 to the charity of her choice, and a lot of people have chosen this week charities involved with Japan and the relief and rebuilding efforts there.
Yes. Okay, we have Angela Stanford, Brittany Lynn Sacombe, Ari Song, Sophie Gustafson, Julie Engster, Beatrix Ricari, Mina Harigai, and I'm probably mispronouncing everybody's name, I apologize, Nanette Hill, Amelia Lewis, all at the top of the leaderboard. Very tight right now, 66, 67, 68, and 69s. Beautiful, beautiful work, and a lot of Americans.
Yeah, it was really, you know, you look around, you got Stanford, Kerr, Linscombe, Creamer, Pressel, all Americans, and that's not a trend that we've seen lately. I think it'd be really, really cool if Julie Engster won this week, because you think about what this event's doing. It's celebrating this tour. You know, three of the founders, five of the 13 women who founded the LPGA are still alive. Three of them are here this week. And, if Engster won, she would be the oldest winner in the, history of the LPGA by far. She's 50 years old.
Wait a minute.
Daniel has the record at 46.
She said she could beat half of the girls on the treadmill.
She is so funny. She's just the greatest interview in the world. When somebody said, how do you explain that you're playing so well at your age? And she said, wait, first off, it's not like I'm 80 years old.
Thank you.
She says, you know, I'm 50, I'm in pretty good shape, I could beat half these girls on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just awesome.
Yeah, okay. Now, what's the mood like, since there was all this controversy in the beginning and the attitude and the girls? You know, one of the questions that comes up for me is, where was that $850,000 going?
Yeah, you know, I think where it was going was into the operation costs of the tournament, and I think that what's happened is that the R.R. Donnelly Company and the LPGA have teamed up together to absorb those costs themselves, and that's a very noble gesture. That's a very noble thing on their part. It's their own form of charitable contribution. The mood here is terrific, and I think it's a fantastic event. I think once all the players got here, they got it. They saw Meredith Smith and Shirley Spork and Louise Suggs, and realized these women started this tour, built it from nothing.
Yes.
They had Betsy King and Patty Sheehan and Nancy Lopez and Pat Bradley, and Pat was injured and couldn't play, but the other three went out and played 18 holes yesterday. And having those Hall of Famers around, having the founders around, I think it brings home, particularly in what's honestly a difficult year for the LPGA. It's been the schedule since 1971, but it really has made these younger players realize how hard these other women worked and sacrificed to make the LPGA the most successful and oldest, longest-lasting women's professional sports organization in the world.
Exactly. When Marilyn Smith was on the show, she talked to me about going to the baseball stadium and running into the infield in between an inning, the stretch, and saying, "Hey, the girls are in town. We're playing at this golf course, and we're doing and come out and watch." I mean, they did everything. They had so much
Suggs
energy.
Lisa Suggs told me stories too. She'd go to boxing matches, you know, and be sitting there, and like blood would be flying around.
Right.
And between rounds, she'd get up and say, "Hey, remember, there's a women's golf tournament in town this week." You know, there was no staff when they ran the tour. They balanced the books. They wrote the checks. Marilyn Smith or Shirley Spork, I forget which one, was telling me yesterday that, Sunday night, we used to call Golf World and give them the scores.
That's right.
You know,
Marilyn
called Bob Harlow at Golf World and give them the scores.
Yes, amazing. I need to pay some bills. Do you mind sticking around talking about, is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk about what we can do with the LPGA facing the difficult year that it's facing, I mean, with so few events on the schedule. It is the Ladies Professional Golf Association. It was never the American, like the Japan Ladies Professional Golf Association. It became a global, but then the Americans wouldn't have their own association. We wouldn't have the LPGA. So what can we do to keep it a thriving business enterprise? We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens.
Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poi Pu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poi Pu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We're talking with Golf World executive editor and senior writer for Golf Digest, Ron Cyrak. He caused quite a stir, sir, this week when you posted an interesting article talking about the PGA and the LPGA joining forces, working together, and as well, even more, I guess, to the point would be the LPGA becoming a part or under the umbrella or under the arm, I don't know how to say it, of the PGA Tour. And it's always made good business sense to me for the PGA Tour, which seems to be so good at marketing. What have they done with their tour is fantastic. Everybody wants to play on the PGA Tour. The LPGA is shrinking, while the PGA Tour seems to be maintaining its presence. So it seemed like they could take advantage of that. The women could take advantage of that. It would be less expensive. They wouldn't have the entire organization to take care of. Now, a lot of people responded very positive to your article. What was the blowback for you?
Well, first off, the response from LPGA players has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, this idea has been batted around in a couple of different forms for almost 20 years now. And when it originally was out there, the old line LPGA players were against the idea because they thought the tour would lose its identity. But I think the situation they're in right now, where next year, if more than half of the tournaments are played outside the United States, is the LPGA not, in fact, losing its identity there? So players really think that the time would be right. I'm a huge believer that this product is just a terrific product, and the biggest critics of the LPGA are people who don't go to the tournaments. Once you go there and you see what a great product is, it just needs better exposure. TV is the key to that. Marketing is the key to that. And the PGA Tour could help with all that. Imagine if during a PGA tournament on television, they're promoting the LPGA tournament, saying, "Hey, tune in and watch that." It would be great. It would be great marketing for them.
Well,
I also think it could help the PGA Tour in the sense that they could, in their new TV negotiations, the contract expires after the 2012 season. In those negotiations, they have something to offer the networks, which is, how about a couple times a year we have a mixed team event? How about a couple times a year we have an LPGA and a PGA Tour event going on in the same venue at the same week, men competing against the men, women against the women? TV loves those ideas. They love the idea of having something different than 72-hole stroke play every week.
Okay. Marketing the PGA Tour has down to a science. They're very, very good at it, and I've always questioned the LPGA on that. Since 12 years ago, when I was at the Takafuji Classic when it was held in Kona, my questioning was always, why is not the communication arm of this operation functioning the way it ought to be? Why is it being so cliquish? Why am I trying to cover this event and they won't let me in to cover it? They will let me be there, but they won't give me entree and access to the actual, the LPGA. Why won't they open their arms and say, come on in, get to know us? Now,
I agree with you entirely. Yep.
Okay. Now, the other thing about the PGA Tour now, they're doing great financially. They have, but they don't have, and I'm going to say this really, really straight up, okay? They don't have sex appeal. They don't have the sizzle, okay? The guys that are winning right now are great players. Nick Watney is a great player. He's a great guy. These guys are really good people, okay? But they just, they don't have the je ne sais quoi. They don't have the Tiger Woods appeal. Now, that's what you've got on the women's tour, you, to my mind. Do you think, I don't want to be so blatantly sexist, as it seems sexist, but I think that it just does something for people when they have a connection. I think the PGA Tour can help the LPGA Tour make the women connect better with their audience in the marketplace, draws them into the event itself. It just makes sense to me. And I don't understand why so many people are afraid that the PGA Tour would consider the LPGA a stepchild. And that seems to be, from what I've gotten, the feedback I've gotten, is that the PGA Tour would not hold the LPGA up as high as itself.
Well, that's the concern among some people. I mean, Commissioner Mike Wand has made it clear that any business partner that they would take on, and look, he's open to whatever options, whatever he has to do to grow this tour, he's open to those options. But any business partner they would take on, and does not want them to be an afterthought, to be a third or fourth priority.
Right.
And it's interesting that he would choose that number, because clearly he's referring to the Nationwide Tour and the Champions Tour, too. You know, if you go in with the PGA Tour, you don't just have the PGA Tour. You've got those other two tours as well. I think that they would spring, you know, ahead of certainly Nationwide and probably the Champions Tour, and get equal billing with the PGA Tour. I mean, again, you could create a cool TV product where the women are on TV from noon to 3, and the men's tournament comes on from 3 to 6. There are some people, TV loves the idea of having the LPGA tournament finish on a Monday. I know NBC now, in their partnership with Golf Channel, would like to have live golf on 7 days a week. They'd like to have a Nationwide Tour run Monday through Thursday, and the women end on Monday, and be able to have live golf on Golf Channel the entire week.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of creative ideas out there, and I think the time is right for, you know, I wrote something when I was in the Middle East a few weeks ago, saying that, you know, the time is right for the PGA Tour and the European Men's Tour to work together better. All of golf's got to do a better job of working together so that these products aren't stepping on each other, but are cross-promoting and helping each other. To get back to your point about the LPGA and dropping the ball on marketing, I think that's been true. Yes, it's definitely been true. I think they've gotten much better at it right now. They just don't have the money to do it.
Uh-huh.
So they need somebody with deep pockets to come in and help them get out there. And you know, Danielle, look at one of the real dangers the LPGA is facing right now is, where's the fresh blood going to come from? Where are the young players going to come from? There are only 9 domestic tournaments this year that aren't major championships. That's not enough tournaments for people to work their way up the money list, work their way up the world ranking points, and get status. We're endangering the future growth of golf among girls in this country with this few domestic tournaments.
Absolutely. I talked with Meredith Duncan last weekend, and she tried to Monday qualify for this event, and that was one of the topics we covered. I talked with Beth Ann Baldry about the new Q School qualification, and the reason I talked about that in ad nauseum for for some people who may not be, oh, what do I care? Well, we care because, you see, we love the headlines that a Michelle Wee or a Tad Fujikawa or a Kimberly Kim bring back to the islands, but we don't know what kind of work these young people have to go through to get those headlines coming back to the islands for them to actually achieve to be successful in the realm of golf that we enjoy so much. And It's very, very difficult for most people to understand, and that's why I really wanted to enlighten folks on the work that goes into becoming a professional golfer and working on the LPGA Tour and trying to make your way through. So what do you, as far as the LPGA Tour becoming successful in and of itself, without any outside help, would it take more American players to become, perform well? That was one question that was sent to me via Twitter. Dave Andrews.
I think it would definitely help. I mean, look, an American hasn't been Player of the Year in the LPGA since Beth Daniel in 1994. An American hasn't led the LPGA money list since Betsy King in 1993. And though, you know, Annika Sorenstam and Lorena Ochoa were very, very marketable in this country, because they were such dominant, great players, it certainly would help the tour enormously if an American could emerge as the best player on this tour or and contend for it. You know, there's a lot of pressure burden on Michelle Lee's shoulders, you know, for her to be that player. Alexis Thompson's next in the pipeline. Paula Creamer getting a major last year at the U.S. Open definitely helped. But they need somebody like Michelle or like Lexi Thompson to be not a one-win-a-year player, but to really be a breakout player and win 4, 5, 6 times, win a major championship or two. That would bring a lot of attention to the tour.
It's interesting people don't say Paula Creamer could do it. And she seems to be such a magnet. At the same time, maybe it doesn't translate so well in television, print. I'm not sure why
but
she isn't.
She's a marketing machine. She's really, really good at it. She understands all of her obligations, and she does them all. She photographs well. She televises well. Her game is not quite... there are very few dominant players who aren't power golfers. You know, Annika hit the ball a long way, certainly in the second half of her career. Ochoa played like Arnold Palmer. She was a slashing, attacking golfer.
Yes.
Michelle Wheaton that way. Lexi Thompson's that way. And Paula's more of that controlled fairways and greens Nick Faldo kind of player that is... I mean, look, Greg Norman, the casual fan probably thought Greg Norman won more majors than Nick Faldo because he was a more dynamic player, and Faldo won 3 times as many majors as Greg Norman, but played a less sexy game. And that's sort of the thing that Paula has. She's won 9 times. She's won a major championship.
Exactly.
She's only 24 years old. That's all amazing accomplishments. Yanni Singh has a more exciting game. She's very aggressive, attacks golf courses.
Annika Sorenstam was on she's on every Thursday morning. We have to get very up very early. I have to DVR now from 1 to 3 in the morning. But she's
not worth going to bed.
No, right. Why bother, right? And so, well, I could get up and catch if I got up at 3 in the, you know, during the winter. We love Arizona because you guys never change on us. It's always the same distance apart in time. But anyway, Annika Sorenstam was talking about how much the women are excited about doing Pinehurst, the men and women being on the same course at the same time for the U.S. Open, and how much she would love that to happen more often. That would be an interesting way to begin, like tennis. Tennis has brought women and men together, and it's taken for granted that happens. So it certainly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great move in 2014, but I think they came up one step short. They're going to have them on back-to-back weeks. The men go first, then the women. I wish that they were doing it on the same week, the way U.S. Open tennis does.
Yeah.
I think
it's
going to be hard. First off, I know what a U.S. Open golf course looks like on the Monday after the men have played the U.S. Open. It's pretty beaten up. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shape the course is in when the women play it the next week. And,
good point.
And also, I worry about, are you going to be able to get volunteers for 14 straight days, you know? I know TV loves it because it saves them a fortune because they don't have to rip up all that cable and move it across the country to another venue. It's all there. They lay it down once and it's there.
Yeah.
14 nights in a hotel in Pinehurst for me, you know? But
That's not a bad thing, right? All right, I can feel that you need to go, and I really appreciate all the time you've given me. A lot of people wondered why they didn't see you on television. You were given a great credit for sparking this conversation during the morning cast they do from 1 to 3. But But we'll be talking to you in a little bit. I'm getting a lot of interference, and I'm not sure if it's coming from your side. Do you need to go?
No, I'm fine. I can stay if the phone line's all right. I can go as long as you need. So.
I think that was Michael Patrick Shields trying to barge in from Limerick, Ireland. Yes, I think that's what Michael. He's been having way too much fun for St. Paddy's Day in Ireland, but we'll take Michael in just a couple of seconds. The idea of having all of the women and the men doing their tournament at the same time makes for very compelling television, in my mind. And at the same time, I was thinking about the youngsters, the young people who are just getting into the game, and trying to find their center amongst all that electricity and energy. That would be interesting to watch. Don't you think?
You know, certainly growing the game of golf is a challenge that faces all of us. It's been flat for 15 years, and we're not adding new players in the way that we should. And part of that key is these pro tours got to be used as promotional devices to get children excited about playing the game of golf, and particularly women. I always think one of the great numbers is that an important number is that 18% of rounds played in this country are played by women. So more than half the population is playing fewer than 1 in 5 of the rounds played. The growth potential there is enormous.
And we've said that for so many years. It seems like it just hasn't translated into numbers. And I don't know what the courses are doing wrong. Do you have any ideas to correct that?
Well, you know, the McKinsey Group did a study when Golf 2020 first got started about 10 years ago, and they asked women why they don't play more. And interestingly enough, the top reason was they don't feel welcome. You know, more than money, more than time was, and I think that's a problem for all new golfers. You know, they're not always embraced by veteran golfers, you know, who don't want to have beginners on their golf course. And but women in particular have this feeling that they get to a club or they get to a public course and they're not made to really feel welcome. And I think that's a challenge. And I think we're seeing some interesting ideas out there. We're seeing some clubs have developed daycare centers so moms can bring children there and then play nine holes. We've seen them hold workshops on, and I know we've done some of this on our website, what's the etiquette when you're invited to a member guest, you know, and things like that, ways to make people feel more included. But I think atmosphere is really a key thing to get more women out to the golf course.
I want to thank you for being on the show this morning. It's been a pleasure. I hope you'll do it again.
Anytime, Danielle. You know, I think this is the closest I've been to your time zone in any of the times that I've been on your show.
Yes, it certainly has. And I want to thank you for going out on a limb and writing that piece and sparking the conversation that I think needs to be really addressed by the people in the LPGA and the PGA and work towards it. Whether or not they want to say they're talking about it, I think they ought to be talking about it. I think they ought to be doing something towards that end. And I think
whether they admit that they're talking about it or not, they're talking about it. So.
Thank you for getting to the crux of the issue.
Yep.
Okay, we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you. Aloha. We'll be back right after this with Michael Patrick Shields buzzing in from Ireland. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club. Oh, maybe we're not going to go to a commercial break. Maybe we're having a meltdown in the studio. It's always possible, you know. Computers, they don't always function the way they're supposed to. Isn't that marvelous? Yes, in our computer age. So let's try this one. Oh, Michael's up. Michael.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. How long has that day been for you? I want to know.
It's the better part. It's longer than the Tour de France, put it that way.
Oh, you don't know how I know what you're talking about. When the Tour de Suisse went through Davos, it was like, if you were one of the bicyclists, you definitely were not partying, but everybody else was, 24-7.
No, I'm sure of that.
It didn't stop. It was one long, and that's St. Paddy's Day, you know. In Ireland, if I were you, I'd be nonstop as well. I've got your book. Invite yourself to the party. Invite yourself to the party. I was going through and I was going, God, you know, Michael Patrick Shields, you have the best job in the world. You meet all these fabulous people. You just kind of go in there. It's partly your job that gets to invite yourself to the party, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for sure. And it's just having a natural curiosity about people and things and reaching out and throwing yourself into situations where you might not otherwise be comfortable and saying, you know what, maybe this will work out, maybe it won't, but I'll have an interesting story to tell when it's over. And so I guess it's like a chicken and an egg now that you mention it. I never thought of it that way, but as a journalist and a writer,
yes,
you sort of have to go seek stories.
Yeah.
And or am I a journalist because I like to go seek stories? I don't know.
Exactly.
I'll be both.
Yeah. You know, but it gives you entree when you wouldn't normally have it. You can say, you know, I'm going to write a story for you, or I'm going to broadcast you, I'm going to do a story about you for television. That it gives you, and if you're like that, start in school. Do it for your school paper in high school and get used to it and go to college and do it for the whatever college you're at, and write stories and invite yourself to the party. Say, hey, I'm going to write this story. I'm doing a school project. So you're not working for the paper. I'm doing a school project. I'm going to interview you for this paper I'm working on. That's like inviting yourself to the party. That's what the whole book is about. But I got to the part, just love this part, okay? Michael Patrick Shields found himself not feeling well at a party that required him to go way up in the thin air, and he had bronchitis. And oh my God, that was like an eye-opener. Here he is. This guy is like 17, always. He and my grandson could go forever and ever and ever and ever. That's how Michael Patrick Shields is. He just happens to be in a body that's, oh, I don't know, you know, he's a few, you know, 20. He's 20-something, okay? But you had a real eye-opener.
Dog ears, maybe.
What happened to you? Tell us.
Oh, well, I stupidly went to Crested Butte, which was in Colorado, and I had bronchitis when I went there. And the hotel was called Elevation, which should have been a clue. The hotel itself was at 9,500 feet. And if you have bronchitis at 9,500 feet, that's the base, you know, so you're skiing even higher than that. And it was just a disaster. They had to send me down mountain, and I had to be on oxygen for the night. And, you know, there I am wheeling my oxygen tank through town with all the teenagers in their ski clothes trying to help the old man out. It was very embarrassing.
It made for a great chapter, I got to tell you. After all the excitement and all that, it was like, here's a little dose of reality for you, okay? It's not always. It ain't easy all the time. I got to pay my dues, too. And here I am, and they're trying to help you in your oxygen tank onto the bus, and you're going, hey, I really don't need that help. No, no, we'll help you, sir. We'll help you, sir. Don't you hate it when people say, sir, ma'am?
I just want to keep saying, look, I've got bronchitis. It's not that I'm some decrepit old man.
Oh, that's too good. That's too good.
Huh.
So now you are now on your annual trek to Ireland. And I had the pleasure of listening to a part of your show. Mexicans in Ireland, Ireland and Mexico. That was fascinating.
Yeah, we've been on my radio show that you referred to in Michigan. We've been getting ready for St. Patrick's Day for all of March, and just
because it's your radio show.
Yeah, we cover all the angles as we hope to anyway. And so the other day we had Michael Flatley, you know, the famous Irish dancer, just before St. Patrick's Day, and he's 52 years old now. And I said to him, do you get more aches and pains at 52 with that Irish dance? And he said, Michael Patrick, I think the interview's out of time now. I'm going to have to go now. You know, just like the oxygen tank, he said, you know, of course he does get a little more aches and pains. But, you know, there's an easy way to solve that when you're here in Ireland. And there was plenty of that flowing. They call it the black stuff, the Guinness, over St. Patrick's Day, over the weekend.
Good.
They're celebrating in Ireland. Right now I'm standing in between Tralee and Limerick, which are two towns that are just nice to say their names, Tralee. And Limerick.
And Limerick, yes. I'm happy. And you're County Clare? Are you in County Clare?
Right now, I think I'm in Kerry, on my way toward Clare.
Okay.
And, The big news here is that President Obama has decided he's going to come and visit in a couple of months, and they're very excited about that because they think that will draw attention to Ireland and let more people know that Ireland is open for business when it comes to tourism and travel and golf.
Don't you have a special that you had going to get there? Like from the East Coast, it was only $900 to fly over and stay?
Yeah, if you were ever thinking of coming, now's a good time to check it out. If you go to deltavacations.com, deltavacations.com/MPS, those are my initials, Michael Patrick Shields, deltavacations.com/MPS Ireland, you can get 5 nights hotel and air for less than $1,000 in Ireland. And
that's amazing.
I highly recommend that you do it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And I was looking at those clips. Where is that? Those cliffs that go down to the ocean? That is absolutely phenomenally beautiful.
Oh, the cliffs of Moher you're probably talking about.
Yes.
700-foot cliffs that rise over the ocean, and they are one of the great wonders of the world, really. And it's about 30 minutes from Shannon Airport, maybe 40 minutes. You see, when you fly into Shannon as opposed to Dublin, you're in the middle of what you imagine Ireland to be. If you go to Dublin, all right, that's fine, but be prepared. You're going to be in a big city.
Okay.
If you go to Shannon, suddenly that Ireland that you always thought about, you know, with the green hills and the stone walls and the sea smashing up against the rock, you are there. You're in the middle of that country. And when it comes to golf, I was thinking the other day, people go to Pebble Beach, right? And they pay $850 to stay in the lodge, which allows them the ability to pay virtually $500 for a round of golf. And you could play 4 world top 100 courses, 4 of them, for the price of 1 at Pebble Beach, because they'd like to play on the ocean. And all these links courses are already on the ocean here, and they're in the world top 100. So you've got Tralee, you got Waterville, you got Lahinch, which is Ireland's oldest golf course, and then you can go play Ballybunion as well, all for under $1,000 if you wanted to, and you could stay in a place like Limerick and sort of headquarter there. Go out, get that rugged experience, come back in the evening, and have a nice spa treatment to get you ready for the next day. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I'm ready. I'm gone. Okay, bye. We had a computer glitch, and we have to go to a break right now. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk with Michael Patrick Shields, and this is a place where you can stay, the Radisson Blue in Limerick, Ireland, and Tom Shanahan, the manager, is going to join us. Right after this.
Very good.
My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We've got with us in the clubhouse, in joining us, is Michael Patrick Shields. He's over in Ireland. And Tom Shanahan, the manager of the Radisson Blue in Limerick, Ireland. Just saying Limerick makes me think of, you know, wonderful things. Green, Limericks, and Ireland. It's all, I'm dancing. It's wonderful. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Oh, I love your style. Oh, you sound so good. You know, we're...
Oh, God, I wish you were here all the time. You'd be great for my ego.
It's just, you know, we're just, yeah, you bowl us over. Okay, the Radisson Blue, I was looking at it. It's a low-rise hotel, so it's beautiful. And which is, you know, I've been to many, because my family is from Europe, from father's from England and my mother's from Switzerland. I've been to many hotels. You go into a hotel, in many European hotels, and it's like, well, it's a little tight in here. There's barely room for the two of us and the suitcase. But you've got spacious, and you mentioned on your website that it's completely, it's modernized. It's very spacious.
It's very modern.
Yes, it's lovely. Where are you located?
You're actually getting one of our Radisson Blue hotels in Chicago later. It's opening later this year. The Radisson Blue brand is probably more... more popular over in Europe and Ireland and Middle East and Africa. But the hotel is, it's a low rise, it's an old building, it's been there about 40 years, but very, very spacious bedroom. Beautiful.
It is.
Now, you should come over.
It looks beautiful. I'm looking at your website. You're everywhere. You're in Denmark, Deutschland, France, Ireland, Norway, and places that I can't read. off of your website. Hotels in all Belfast and Limerick. You're all over the place, and you're very close to golf courses. That's what Michael was telling me. That you're the perfect,
very very close,
perfect place to stay. Which are those courses that you'd be close to? Is Michael still with us?
I am still with you, and yes. I think you should definitely take Tom up on his offer to come to Ireland, Danielle, because anybody who hasn't played here and embrace the Irish spirit of hospitality. You know, my voice, you hear me all the time. You're listening to Tom there, and it's warm, and it's lyrical, and it's welcoming.
I know.
Yeah, let it...
Okay, Michael, you can stay here as well, so...
we'll shut Michael up. I just wanted to... So that you can tell us a little bit about the course after Tom tells us where we can play if we stay at the Radisson Blue Limerick. Yes. So where can we play? What could we
if you're asking me, you can play...
No, not you. I'm sorry.
I talk for a living.
Yeah, I know. Right now. Tom, tell us where we can play, because we want to hear you.
There's a variety of golf courses really around. If you're looking for the links courses, Doonbeg would be literally an hour away. Lahinch would be an hour. Ballybunion would be about an hour and a half, so... I actually want to congratulate Michael because he should be working for Tourism Ireland with what he just said. stop people going to Dublin. Get them into Shannon and experience the real Irish welcome. And you have a lot on your doorstep by basing yourself in Limerick. There's Parkland golf courses as well. I'm sure you've heard of Adair Manor. is only about 30 minutes away. And Dromoland Castle, again, is only 30 minutes away. So it really is a central base.
Wow. Okay. Michael, what is the castle?
Yes, ma'am.
What is the castle he's referring to?
Oh, Dromoland Castle is a hotel very near Shannon Airport. It's older, and they have a parkland course there. And I think, you know, you could have a nice mix. In other words, you can play parkland courses that are lush and green, and then you want the rugged coastal experience of a place like Doonbeg or Lahinch, where, you know, you got what you would imagine as typical... links with the wind blowing off the ocean and the sea smashing up against the rocks, and you got to keep the ball low, and you just, oh, it's fantastic. Sheep are running all around. It's just great.
You must think we're crazy. Americans are nuts.
Well, it's so much more like a sport. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes in the States, we've turned it into a big dart game. You know what I mean? You ride around on a cart, and you play polo and hit the ball around. Here, you're going to have a real... It's satisfying experience, and that's all right here. You know, four world top 100 courses, plus Doonbeg and Adair Manor and Dromoland Castle. All, I mean, you couldn't have a better trip.
No, I'm. And is there a castle there that I can see? You know, you say castle, and I go, huh? Is there archaeological sites? Are there places where I can see history?
Yeah, there's a lot in Limerick. You're literally 5 minutes drive away from Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, which shows you how the Irish used to live hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And there's a medieval banquet, and it's very exciting. You eat with your hands, there's no utensils, and they even throw one member of their guests down into a jail during the entire performance. And there's loads of singers and Irish dancing, and you have to come over and experience it.
Can I get dressed up the way they used to dress?
Well, you can, but you might get stared at.
You know, we want to make sure you have the full experience. So
that's it.
Oh, that's fun. That sounds like a great time. When I come to your hotel, well, is it is there breakfast? You know, sometimes when you go to a European hotel, breakfast automatically comes with it. Is that the case?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and with Radisson, the Radisson Blue brand, we all have the same breakfast concept. It's called the Super Buffet Breakfast.
Yeah.
And you have to have a minimum of 83 items on your breakfast menu. So it's an all-you-can-eat affair.
Wow. So it's like having dinner in the morning, which you're supposed to anyway, and then the rest of the day you can have lighter meals while you're off on your own.
Have lighter meals, and you can have spa treatments, and...
Yeah, the spa.
You can really relax.
The spa, and you have an indoor pool.
We have an indoor pool, and we have an outdoor hot tub, even in this cold weather. Actually, Michael Patrick was asking me about having a Guinness bath. I don't know whether he's going to be able to experience that.
Michael, what's a Guinness
bath? I'm sure he'll try.
what is
I just thought at the Radisson Blue Spa, I could get, you know, some people have a seaweed wrap, or I would like to have a Guinness bath.
Want that warm or cold?
Good question. Because it depends if I can have a straw with me.
Okay, I'm having way too much fun. You guys are great. Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything you want to add that I didn't give you a chance to about your beautiful hotel, Tom?
No, I don't think so. Michael Patrick said it all. It's really, if you want a central location, it's only a 10-minute drive away from Shannon Airport, so... it makes traveling very, very easy, and everything is very accessible. And don't forget, we also have the immigration in Shannon. You can do it all in Shannon before you go back to the States.
Oh, explain that, Michael.
Well, that means you can go through immigration here so that you're done. When you get on the plane and you land in New York or Newark or wherever you're going to land, Los Angeles, you name it, you've already done a lot of paperwork, and so you don't have to worry about it. And I would suggest too that the Irish breakfast is the greatest breakfast on earth, with the black pudding and the white pudding and the sausage and the bacon and the eggs. And you talk about farm to table, Danielle. Yesterday, I stayed at a B&B where I had duck eggs that were hatched 1 hour before breakfast. I mean, this is like going back in time, and you get a little bit of that, a little bit of old Ireland, and then you stay at a place like the Radisson Blue, and so you have the comforts in the evening, and I think it's a great combination.
It's a perfect combination. If you go to deltavacations.com, is it deltavacations?
deltavacations.com/MPS Ireland. You can get that special deal. You can set it up yourself, too, at a place like the Radisson Blue.
Yes, okay. You can book online, too. You go to Radisson Blue, and you'll find the Irish hotels. You can go to the Radisson Blue in Ireland, and then they have Limerick, and then you can actually... find and book your dates, arrival, departure. And if somebody's not comfortable doing it online, Tom, can they call? Who would you recommend?
They can, of course.
Okay.
They can, of course. The best deals will always be online.
Always online. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning. It's been
this evening.
Today, yes. It's been good talking to you.
Thanks for your time, Daniel.
Thank you. And we'll talk again soon, Michael. I'm not sure where you'll be on the planet, but it'll be fun wherever you are.
I'll find you. Invite yourself to the party.
Aloha. We'll be
and
back.
Go where Ireland takes you, is what they say. Go where Ireland takes you. Please come.
We'll take our final break, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Need a good plumber 24-7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. If Jerry King inspired you to go learn a bit more about golf, Turtle Bay Resort is continuing to bring adults like you and me into this game of golf in a very fast and fun and very affordable way. It's for $99. Five Thursdays, and it's called Get Golf Ready in 5 Days. And it's from March 24th to April 21st at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's only $99 per person. Today, Unshakably Yours and Hands Across the Ocean, a benefit concert and block party is happening at Waterfront Plaza. That's known to most of us as Restaurant Row. You know where that is. And eating and drinking, 10% of what you spend is going to go directly to the folks' recovery and assistance to the people who have suffered such great losses in Japan, losses that we can't even imagine. And there's a $10 at-the-door cover charge. That all will go as well as a donation. So get on down. Ocean's Nightclub, Ruth's Chris House, Castagnolo's Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Martini Bar and Row Bar. They're all getting into this, and we've got so many people who've donated their time and their energy to not only put it together from 4 o'clock this afternoon until 10 o'clock this evening. Go and have some fun and do some good at the same time. I want to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. First of all, Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design and fabrication, excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product. Yes, you can depend on Alakai Mechanical. I do. Star Protection. Get the star team on your property, whether you need protection at your hotel or your shopping center or your neighborhood, the gated communities, call Star Protection. Or if you'd like to join the star team, call Star Protection. Moon Physical Therapy. Doctor recommended, insurance approved. They achieve results. Julie Moon, Moon Physical Therapy. And thank you to Julie Moon for all of the warm-up tips. So if you're recovering from surgery or a sport injury or a motor vehicle accident, Moon Physical Therapy. Hoipu Bay Golf Course, 742-8711. Special values and packages, Hoipu Bay, Kauai's South Shore gem, and playing beautifully from tee to green. I want to invite you to catch us at RadioGolfClub.com and at Stitcher Radio for your smartphone or at iTunes. You can catch the podcast there. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.